Blog Talk Radio.
Kima Roach, who started the second in 199 test wickets, and in fact, he got an achievement. Well, 25 overs, 4 wickets for 72 runs. And certainly in the first test, we know he went pretty close to 100 overs without picking up a wicket, but he's come back quite nicely. That's a long time ago to get 200 wickets for the West Indies. And that is, in my view, a stat that you should really open your eyes very wide as far as that is concerned. Let's look at you now, Kim Roach. You would have played with and against Kima Roach. Your assessment of him as a fast bowler?
I think he's definitely a much improved bowler now as opposed to when he was out and out quick. Obviously, when he was out and out quick, he used to, I guess, pitch the ball up a lot more than what he's doing now. In terms of, he used to bowl a lot fuller, trying to get you bowled, beat you through the air because he was really quick through the air. But I think that now, I think he spent a lot of time around Corey Collingmore, if I'm not mistaken, who sort of had a similar injury early in his career and had to do sort of the same thing. I think he's picked up a lot of skill, and it's a massive achievement, you know, for it to have been 20 any kind of years for a West Indian bowler to have gone to 200 wickets. Let's hope that it's not another 20 something years before another one gets there. I think that won't be the case. Shannon Gabriel is coming close to 150, and Jason Holder as well is pretty close to that. So I think there are better signs now. There's more consistency. There's a better unit. But I think that what Roach has done over the years for West Indies is obviously a very commendable job. I think he needs one more to tie Andy Roberts and, you know, the kind of names that he's being mentioned with now. Obviously, augurs well for him. And for his legacy in West Indies cricket.
Roland Butcher.
Yeah, over the last few years, we've seen an improved Kima Roach. No longer the tier rare fast bowler, which you would understand with age and injuries. But what he's learned over the last few years is the skill of bowling line and length. Still with a good amount of pace, but more control and movement. And that has brought him a lot more success than even when he was an out-and-out fast bowler. So, you know, he's learnt over the last couple of years how to be a good bowler. It's taken him a while to get started on this tour in England, and I felt from the start that perhaps his length was a little bit too short of a length. He was bowling more West Indian length. Once he's now started to pitch the ball up a lot more, you've noticed that it's a lot more dangerous for the batsman, and he started to get the result. So, 200 wickets in international cricket for a fast bowler. It's a good effort, and I congratulate him. And you know, I'm sure he'll be keen to try and get a few more even before this year.
Phil Wallace, your take on Kima Roach?
Andrew, I'd just like to congratulate Kima Roach for reaching that 200 club. It's taken a while, but he's worked really hard and diligent to get there. And the beauty about him is that he understands his bowling. He understands what he needs to do to get wickets. Obviously, he's jumping into a very elite group with Sir Leslie Hall and Sir Andy Roberts, which he's soon going to overtake. You know, and then Michael Holden, Joel Garner, Malcolm Marshall, Courtney Walsh, who has the list of 500, and Kirkley Ambrose. So he's worked really hard to get up there, and I hope that he can continue to pick up wickets consistently before the end of his career. And obviously, he enjoys his bowling. He plans how he's going to bowl and how he's going to get wickets. He started really slowly, and I was one to say that if he didn't get any wickets, he should be dropped. But obviously, he picked up himself and realized that the length that he needs to bowl is a lot fuller. And also, he spent some time playing county cricket here. So it's good to see him get up to that 200. And now we'll see Kima Roach even getting better as he grows up as a cricketer and continue to do well for West Indies.
Okay. Well, of course,
in the gully. I love this game. It's all about cricket, lovely cricket. You have to learn to defend your wicket, eh? And when you occupy the crease, stroke it, no lick out like no wild beast. Cricket, lovely cricket. You have to learn to defend your wicket, eh? And when you occupy the crease, stroke it, no lick out like no wild beast. Cricket is a game for one and for all. Whether you wicked with the bat or you good with the ball, raise your bat for your name of the call. When you in a decrease, you're standing tall. One girl, sexy and fat. Oh Lord, what a girl can bat. Front shot, back shot, all kind of shot. Hook, try, she have them down fat. Girl defense, greater than great. No loose balls, can't penetrate. All me a bowl, me can't get her out. Oh, she licking me balls all about. Leg break, half break, it's all the same. Oh, she licking me balls again. Shot after shot, runs a pile up. She bound to win the World Cup. She licking those balls of mine all over the boundary line. She licking those balls of mine all over the boundary line.
Follow me.
Set me free, Rego, set me free.
Ho ho.
Set me free, Rego, set me free.
We have flip, cover, third man, third leg. Point, cover, point, forward, short leg. Fine leg, square leg, silly me down. Mid wicket, gully long on. Me in the cover, she in at the slip. With a vacant gully, me half in at it. Any feeling position, she work with it. But third leg is her favorite. Sexy peg, she not a cigarette. She make no batsman ball and peg. But in at the gully, the girl get shed. She make two balls go between her legs. Umpire, you know see she blow in front. Umpire, she pad up front the mid stop. Umpire, look, she out of the crease. Push up your finger, please. Umpire, you never see the girl leg before. Took her, she out, she can't bat no more. She licking those balls of mine all over the boundary line. She licking those balls of mine all over the boundary line. Follow me.
My time now, my time to bat. Me have all me boots, but me now wear no cap. Come in afraid of no bowling attack. Come me come, fi lick some shots. Stroking, fluent me finding the gap. Stroking, down the leg side me hot. Stroking, stroking up the front foot. Stroking, powerful drive and hook. Stroking, she love the firm cover drive. Shots like that and she must come alive. Stroking, can't get caught anywhere. My ball's not going on here. Man, I lick four and I try lick six. And end up caught in the slips. Man, I juke, juke, outside the line. And end up caught behind. Cricket, love the cricket. You have to learn to defend your wicket, eh? And when you occupy the crease, stroke it, no lick out like no wild beast. You have to give 100%. Make sure you never short of a length. With the bat, you have to well competent. Provide lots of excitement. When me come in a decrease, me a stroke all bout. Took with caution, me not lick out. All round, middle order batsman. No, me not a night watchman. She licking those balls of mine all over the boundary line. She licking those balls of mine all over the boundary line.
Michael holding balls in the heat of the battle. Michael should have left long time. I heard an angry brother shout, Caribbean man, that is the root of our trouble. Oh, in these tiny theaters of conflict and confusion, better known as the eyes of the West Indies, we already know fraud and fear and created this confusion. So I'm begging my people, please, oh, we got to rally.
Ben, good evening to you.
Ride the ball, but you know, he never really got hit a lot. He used to bomb and weave and climb and push the ball down. So Rich, obviously has a bad technique to short pitch bowling, and he has to work on that. And it cannot happen tomorrow. He's not going to come up tomorrow and start hooking and cutting and uppercutting and tapping down the shuffle, because there's a fear. There's straight and simple, there's a fear. We need him to then obviously try to stay there with the captain and rally, try not to get England sent back in to lead or anything, you know. We just need to bat properly. For Desmond, Andrew, you know, Desmond's name has been mentioned so many times around Crystal West Indies with his new dispensation. President Skerrigan and President Shallow looking to bring locals into the cricket. And the National Second Director of Cricket, Jimmy Adams, obviously he has a lot to say in relation to that. Desmond and Floyd and Philip, they were the last three people, maybe or four people, whoever the fuck I can't remember, but who went forward to be the head coach. And obviously, that did not materialize. I personally feel that there's room in West Indies cricket for Desmond Ayens. But Cricket West Indies and Jimmy Adams, who's director of cricket, need to chart that path. We have a proliferation of fast bowlers. We have some of the greatest fast bowlers that ever bowled in Test match cricket in the Caribbean. And they need to be utilized as well. And to help this fast bowling crop that we have to continue to bowl fast. So if we can find ways to work with them, there's room for that great rapids. But I've spoken to Desmond. I don't know if Desmond is the next one, but this move, we've spoken to Desmond. And Desmond obviously the next one is just a champion. But this move from deep back in the West Indies has successfully played for Middlesex as well, successfully, and it's South Africa. And I think that's why the West Indies need to tap into our brain and get them to help these fellas. Now, Shea Pope is coming back with no form. Are we going to tell Shea Pope to think we can let your coach work with you, Corey Ewing? Or are we going to ask a legend in Barbados to go to Pickwick and assist Corey Ewing, and Shea Pope up there? Because if Shea Pope is our future, Cricket West Indies need to reach out, along with the Barbados Cricket Association, and put things in place for him. And he has to turn up and do the work. It's not easy fired. So there is time now, there is room now to set it all up. So when they come back, who are struggling, to get proper coaches. We're not undermining the BCA coaches, Andrew. We're just adding to what they have there to make our batsmen better. Because the West Indies are important to talking to South Africa to come. We're about as much of this cricket, you know. And our pitchers in the past, you know, are faster than England. So we're about as licking the chop. We better get ready.
I've actually worked with Desmond before. When it just made the West Indies team was actually the batting coach. And I think it was probably one of the better times as well that we've had as a team, I guess, over the last 10 years. I would say that the team consistently scored a lot higher scores as well. And I think he helps a lot in terms of your mental makeup and how you should go about approaching an innings. Obviously, someone that's played for the West Indies so distinguishedly over such a long career. I don't think that at the international level is where you're going to make technical changes with players. Now, someone's technique was then is going to be well grouped. You could make a few amendments here and there, but I think your mental makeup and how you should go about approaching an innings is the path that we actually don't delve too much into or as much as we should. And I think, obviously, someone with his experience of playing in England and playing around the world would obviously add, you know, so much more to this West Indies batting group. The kind of confidence that he'd be able to instill in the players. Obviously, you see what he's done, whatever the work that he's done with Craig Bradley is, he's now starting to look himself, batted a lot longer. Playing how he knows how to play and giving himself that chance to get as much runs as possible. And if he could be around to work with the other batters, I'm not saying that he is the answer, but he could be a part of the answer.
All right, when we come back from our commercial break, we've got certainly some stuff to show you in relation to the business of Gamble, Watch, we're going to be congratulating the great man called the Watch. Came out roach on achievement 200 wickets. But just before we go to the break, Roger Tracy's on to you again, Phil. He's saying the bruises of taking hits would be prodded Durridge when he went to war for the Caribbean. Steve Ward did as well. But what we're going to do now, of course, we're going to pause for business, because when we come back, we're going to look at some action. We're going to be looking at Campbell for Blackwood dismissal. Let's pause for business, guys.
On his way to Boltwick, big left-handed West Indian captain Wade tapping away at the crease. Walker is on the way, and Lloyd off the back foot crashes it through the covers. That's four more runs. Beautiful shot by Lloyd, full of confidence, flowing back foot shot off the meet the bat and racing away to the boundary. McCulloch in the covers had no chance of catching it.
This tiny young fella by the name of Chiwa left all the way from China because of Kerry Packer. He said he heard so much about cricket, but he wants someone to explain it. Test match between Australia and we, so we start listening to the commentary. He hear the ball swinging, he started asking about Adam. He want to apply for the job as the night watchman. Just then he hear fingers, he said like married people can play this game.
The ball away from Richards. Rubs his fingers into the soil, comes in once more. And Richards goes back, tries to cut, he's out for the wicket. Marsh takes the chances, Richards tries to cut, just got a top edge onto it. And the Australian is naturally jubilant at getting the prime West Indian wicket. Richards caught Marsh, ball by Bright for 88.
Imagine my calamity, explaining cricket to the shiny. He never speak to cricket.
Testing.
And we also want to thank you as well for doing the postings and watching with them to a certain degree and getting reactions from the panel. So, England 369, at one stage 218 for the loss of eight, a game to tail wagon. And thanks to Brown, but very good support in fact. The last two gets put on a whopping 89 runs as England moved from 280 for eight to be bowled on for 369. 111 overs and 5 balls. Let's turn our attention off to the West Indies reply. Again, Phillip Wallace and not the kind of star that we've been looking for. The opening part of the world of dropping an important goal to the support. First of all, the one abroad and the West Indies were 1-1. Not the kind of star that the West Indies were looking for, Phillip Wallace.
No, I do not at all. After the team amassed 300 runs, you're asking your openers to obviously see off that new ball. That did not happen. Right, he's going around the offside and he's just square up on the ball at the outside edge and he went to slip. Not a good start. I heard Kieran say that Craig is back into his own self. I think that Craig needs to stay still at the crease. I think he's moving too much. He's not playing with assurance. He got some runs in this series, but I don't see that real confidence in his batting like I used to see before. And I think that because he's so bent on trying to maybe get behind the ball, he's just losing all shape. When you look at that shot today, he's out of shape and the edge of the ball. It's just a bad start for us, you know? Campbell, I thought today looked good because he didn't look to hit the ball. Campbell was pushing the ball down the ground. But Craig today distressed himself too much, and it's a VH. I think Giroud is not going to drop that catch.
No. Kieran, what did Bradley do wrong?
He edged it. On a good day, he will be playing this. Well, we'll keep going. Obviously, as Phyllis said, he feels Craig a little bit too much. I think Craig is probably just a bit mental, obviously, hasn't been scoring much runs of late now.
obviously he's had two good scores in the series so far, but it's going to take more than two good scores to sort of build back that confidence and make you be able to play the way you want to play, the way you don't want to play. So I think he just has to keep fighting that mental battle against himself, really, and trying to dig in as deep as possible.
Roland?
Yeah, I think Craig, at the moment, he's using a technique of staying back and then trying to adjust to the ball, but he's then playing with his hands only, which at times he ends up in a funny position when the ball is straight. Suddenly see his hands come out at the ball, and that's exactly what happened. Here, the ball was at a foolish length, he stayed right back, never really got his body in a good position. Really just played with hands, so he ended up as if he was playing like a white ball, but it wasn't a white ball. It's just the technique that he uses. I mean, it's okay staying back,
playing like a white ball, but it wasn't a white ball. It's just the technique that he uses. I mean, it's okay staying back and playing late, but there is a difference when you play only with your hands. You know, when you play with your hands, there's a good chance of edging it either way. Either off the inside edge or the outside edge. On this occasion, he got at the outside edge. I mean, somebody who was watching would say, yeah, that was a good delivery. It wasn't a bad delivery, but I think his technique at the moment contributed to the dismissal as well.
Well, again, another comment coming. I don't believe we battled poorly, but we could have been more positive. England picked five bowlers and kept the pressure on, something we didn't do. Do you agree with that comment, Phil Wallace?
No, I don't believe that. I don't agree with the comment. I honestly thought we batted poorly. Yeah, okay. We batted poorly, Andrew. When you look at the way our batsmen have been dismissing this innings, it's just about watching the ball and getting it to the right positions, and they're not doing it. England have picked five bowlers, yes, but England picked four quality seamers. We said it yesterday that Stroud, Broad, Jimmy Anderson, Jofra Archer, and Chris Wilkes are going to be a handful. And they certainly proved today that they are a handful. And obviously, our batsmen continue to struggle against good bowling. My thing, Andrew, looking at our batsmen, is that when the opposition bowlers start to get aggressive, we start to back away. And that is what I saw today again. The England bowlers became aggressive, and they got the ball to swing, and our batsmen started to be at sixes and nines. You know, and the rest of that, the rest in Adam Anderson for that second test match is Trump. So he looked sharper today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he bowled wonderfully well. So our batsmen have not been able to counter the English bowlers' attack, the English bowling attack, and their lines and their lengths. And on top of that, the pace.
All right. Just before we look at the dismissal of Campbell, sucked in really, a couple of balls pitched up, and then he got the brute from Archer. More reaction, Leon Francis says, Craig is back to his old self. Alison Weeks, good to have the ladies very much with us. She's saying, what are your thoughts about the possibility, given Shea Hope the gloves, and bringing Joshua De Silva or Bonner and pushing up the batting order? So that's one for you, Roland Butcher, coming from Alison.
Is it suggesting we do that in the second inning?
Well,
what was the next question, Andrew?
Josh De Silva or Bonner, but of course this is the last test match.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that right now, that doesn't really come into the discussion at all. Right now,
it's about
what you have on the field, trying to get the best out of them to get a desired result. That's where we're at right now.
All right. Before
you go on to next dismissal, what I would say is that, you can get out to good deliveries. There were some good deliveries, but every good delivery shouldn't get you out. You know, that is something that, you have to work on. But people will bowl good deliveries, but all good deliveries shouldn't get you out. And you will see that a lot of our dismissals could be termed as reasonably good deliveries, but you could always see within them a technical fault that caused them to actually get out, with the exception of one shot, which I thought was a poor shot in the circumstances. I'm not sure whether Phil would agree with that, but I thought Blackwood's shot was very much a one-day shot.
Phil?
Yeah, I thought Blackwood played a poor shot, Andrew. Chris Wilkinson, that's a normal delivery to just push down the ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Again, he has this thing about staying leg side of the ball. I if you stay leg side of the ball and you're not getting in line, those kind of deliveries are going to hit your stumps. And with the quality attack, he's showing his stumps to those English bowlers. They're going to nip it back off a line and then if he's not close to the ball, he's looking for room, hit the ball over extra cover and through extra cover. And I don't understand why Blackwood, once he gets close to the ball, he plays the perfect cricket shot. And I don't understand why he wants to keep staying leg side. He just needs to just trigger his right foot to go back and across and cover his stumps, and he'll be in the perfect position most of the time to push the balls down the ground, and he can hit down the ground. You know, so I agree with Roland. It was a poor shot today from him. And in the position that the team is into, can't look to play that big shot. You know, just, you know, consolidate. And he's battling with the captain. The captain actually came up the order today.
Yeah, indeed. So some more reaction coming from John Williams. I believe by batting last, we are tired and always facing an uphill task. We have not batted first in the series. Now, Roger Tracy's on your case again, Philo Wallace. He's saying, and listen to this. Alan Donald said the batsman he will always remember that gave him serious headaches was a bloke named Philo Wallace.
Roger Tracy, why are you... You're killing me, Roger Tracy. But thanks very much. Yes, I heard that. I got that clip as well. Yes. The thing is that Andrew, when I played cricket, it was a challenge.
Yes.
And I believe the bowlers were bowling faster than some of these guys that are playing today.
Yes.
But you had to back yourself. You had to have the belief and the willpower that you're going to succeed and do well. You're going to look to challenge short balls successfully. Sometimes you get out with them, but more often than not, you challenge them successfully. And you build a fear. When you look at West Indies cricket of years ago and the greats, so Vivian Richards now, he had a fear. Nobody wanted to bowl short. Clive Lloyd, Gordon Greenidge, nobody wanted to bowl a short white ball or bounce on his hip. He hit you for, cut you for four or whip you for six. Desmond Haynes, extra cover drive. So our batsmen of yesteryear were dangerous with certain shots. Now the modern day cricketer of West Indies, then nobody fears them. The ball, half volleys will get them out. So our batsmen need to be fearful. I went to Pakistan in 1991, Andrew, quickly, with Richie Richardson as the captain. And Richie Richardson told me, he said, Wallace, I don't bowl. All I do is bat. And when I hit the ball hard, the fielders will be frightened. And that's how he hit the ball hard. And our batsmen don't even push the ball hard. They're timid.
Mm.
Nobody fears West Indies batsmen. They're timid, Andrew.
Very timid. I agree with that. 100%, Philo. I just got a WhatsApp message asking you and asking the panel, and it said, ask Philo Wallace the fastest ball he's ever faced in his life.
The fastest ball I've ever faced in my life is a man called Wazim Akram.
Okay, really?
He was quick through the air. Alan Donald was quick off the wicket. We played him in South Africa. I went on a tour with Barbados in my early days, and I took him on. Alexandra, I scored 87. He told me he's going to kill me. I said, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to kill you before you kill me. He actually said that, frankly. Stevenson played in the game. I scored 87 runs. And the faster he bowled, the further he went. But Wazim Akram was a different proposition. He was quick to the air. And he came around the wicket. The ball started in and then string away. So he was very, very difficult. So Wazim Akram through the air is the quickest bowler. But off the pitch is Alan Donald. Yeah, white lightning. But it was a good challenge.
What are you, Roland? Butchellen, what about you, Roland Butcher?
In terms of facing, I would say probably Sylvester and Jeff Thompson. But
you had Jeff Thompson. He was sharp.
In terms of one that I didn't face, but I can tell you, was a serious face would have been the Royal Pindi Express.
Yes. Joe Baptar.
I don't think any could be quicker than him if they were.
he was quick. I went to Pakistan in 1997, and we were at the same Royal Pindi, and he bowled Lara before Lara could move the bat. And in fact, the bails went down to third man, and perhaps the bails went to Lahore. It was serious pace that he bowled. Fantastic run, full of energy. He was very sharp. Kieran Powell, who was the fastest you ever faced?
Was it
Cornwall?
Uh-oh, no, not what it is. I'd say Michelle Johnson. We had a tour of Australia, and I think it was 2 days before the first match, he had broken David Warner's hand in the net. So I was like, well, if that's his teammate, and he's bowling that fast in the net, what's this match going to be like? And I think I ended up getting 80-something in the first one-day match or something like that. And for some reason, he started to try and bowl me a slow ball. And I was like, well, this has to go because everything else I've just been ducking. So I hit it for six, and then he told Michael Clarke, you know, some nice words about me. And he went around the wicket, and I got a single, and that was the end of me facing any more of his bowling.
Mm-hmm. Now, talking about serious pace, Jofra Archer has serious pace. There's no doubt about that. And I want you to spend some time looking at this clip. The batsman is Campbell, and the bowler is Jofra Archer.
Brilliant from Strauss up here. Main man Archer as number two for England.
Yeah, boy, 90 mile an hour. If the guy's lunging forward at you, you know you've got to make him think the short ball's coming. And he got it bang on. In at the ribs. Very hard to play that delivery. Simple catch there for Rory Burns. Archer has his man. Excellent bowling.
Indeed. Excellent bowling indeed. Talk us through that, fellow.
Andrew, Jofra is slippery, huh? If I was facing Jofra, I would go into Seymour Nurse. And let Seymour Nurse show me that sometimes when guys are bowling quick, you go into the crab. Carly Best would know what the crab is. Sometimes you need to lower your stance, Andrew, because Jofra Archer, you don't know when he's going to bowl a short ball. You know, he's just ambling up and he's bowling at 87, 88 miles an hour. And they're telling me the pitch is slow.
Mm.
But the pitch cannot be slow if a man is bowling at 88 miles an hour. I told a friend today watching Jofra, I think he can bowl faster. I think he can get up to 95 miles an hour, you know. I feel so. Mm-hmm. So he jumped Campbell to be able to face. Because when Campbell looked to get up to ride the ball was already on him. And he just pushed it up to gully. So when you're batting a guy like Jofra Archer, you've got to try to be a smaller target. I would have gone into the crowd if I was facing him. I would hold up my head a lot at all. I can peep at him from down below because he's quick. He gets onto you quickly.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Roland Butcher.
Yeah, I think Jofra Archer has the ability to get the ball to raise off the pitch sharply without any change in his action. You know, a similar action produces a delivery that is pitched up. No change in the action, and next to the ball is at the batsman's throat. I think Campbell, who was looking fairly comfortable, I mean, he had no idea, no way he could play that delivery because it rose up sharply, steeply, and it was straight at him. And really, all he could do is just push the bat in the rear and just lobbed up into the gully. But, you know, Archer has that uncanny ability to do that, so that makes him dangerous. And as Carlos says, yes, I think he's got the capability to bowl quicker, but because of the type of bowler he is, I don't think he's going to be an out-and-out tier-away bowler. If he tries to do that, obviously his career may not be too long. But if he maintains what he has got, which is the ability to bowl a decent pace, does something with the ball, and then slip to the one that's a little bit quicker, you know, he will always be a threat, to the batsman.
Mm-hmm. Kieran?
I think what we're seeing from Jofra is that I think he's so natural and it's coming so easy to Jofra. Like he just jogs in. And I think it's not necessarily even his skill that's beating people, but he could just jog in and bowl 80 the same way he could bowl 92. He could bowl full the same way he could bowl short. There's no change. There's no trigger or there's no targets for batters to pick up. There's no cues for you to see, well, he's putting a bit of extra effort or he's running in faster. And I think that's a massive bonus to him because, as Philo said, on a pitch that's supposed to be slow and you're just jogging in and bowling 88 and I mean, I think everybody saw last year what he did in the Ashes with Steve Smith, where he bowled, I think, like a 10-over spell, all above 90 miles an hour. That's a special talent, and that's a special skill to have without making any discernible changes in your action. So I think, as Felicity, you might want to get into your crab, but then I hope when you do get into the crab, he doesn't beat you for pace off the pitch with a full on as well. It's a funny situation.
You knock it down, man.
That's a wonderful.
No, and the thing is, too, Andrew, he's not even a big fella. He has long limbs, you know, and he just gets onto you. And it's like, hey, bowling that man, bowling fast. He'll jump you, Andrew. He'll knock you down, he'll slant. He knocked down. I watched that test match at the Oval last summer, the Ashes. Let me tell you, he hit Steve Smith so hard. And the ball was old. If it was a new ball, Steve Smith would have been the late Steve Smith. He would have died on that cricket field. He got hit hard. And it's no joke, Jofra Archer is a handful to face, Andrew. And he's just, I believe you put on, a little more muscle. But he's strong. He's a strong Filipino. He's a strong man from St. Philip, playing for England. He's strong. Don't underestimate him. And England pick him in this test match because they know he's going to be dangerous.
And the other thing is, Andrew, is that he gets in close to the stumps. So, there's no angle. So he's not bowling away because there's an angle for laying back or something because he gets in so close. You know, he's bowling wicket to wicket. So his short ball, it gets you into a lot of problems. I think Darwish might be in for a pretty torrid time tomorrow. You might remember, Darwish gave an interview at the start of this tour where he was asked whether he would have liked Jofra in the West Indies side or not. And he said, no, we have the right people in our side. And I think Jofra might just remember that. So tomorrow could be quite uncomfortable for Darwish. He might have to take the advice of get into that shell. Because I think arrested Jofra might be ex certificate in the morning.
Interesting. Now, Leon Francis is making a comment. He said he can't understand why we lost Archie's and Diamond in the rough. Of course, Jofra Archer wasn't selected. Clive Butts, the chairman, that has caused a lot of talk across the Caribbean. Now, gentlemen, we want to turn our attention now to Sheho. He has struggled all season. In fact, he hasn't done well at all in red ball cricket for some time now. And the problems continue in England. Let's look at the way he was dismissed today.
Beauty from Anderson. And Sheho turns head down and walks away. He doesn't wait for the signal from the umpire. It was a gorgeous delivery from James Anderson that moved late. Hope had to play. What a beautiful delivery from Anderson that was.
A nice shape from the end that is named after him. That is top class. Great seam position, great length. You have to play at that. Do you read?
Andrew, I guess we're not hearing you, but I guess you want to comment on that dismissal. I think it was a good delivery by Anderson, but you've got to also look at the footwork of Sheho. His feet didn't go anywhere. He just literally, both feet together, squared up, which allowed the ball to move away from him, and which made it look an absolute feature of the delivery. But I think, again, he contributed to that. His footwork was faulty, and you know, his fourth run continues. He has found it extreme.
Played a lot of food, they put him for Barbados. I saw in some chats, like the last time he played for Barbados was in 2017. A long time ago. So he hasn't played a lot of food, he hasn't played no food in the last 2 or 3 years. And, you know, so it is now me coming back home to basics. And hopefully, they will have things in place to help him defend sort of his technique. Well, he should get the videos from England.
Yeah, he was, before Kieran comes in, he was due to play the last two games for the first class season, but obviously, as you know, after 8 games, COVID came in and the 2 games were cancelled. But he and Rostam were due to play those last 2 games, and I think those 2 games probably would have helped him considerably if he was able to get those games in, because going to England at the best of times with no form against a very good ball and attack in English conditions, I don't think you'll get a better four than these four in English conditions. And if you're out of form, it's going to be very difficult. Aaron, I guess you've got something to say in relation to this.
You can hear Paul, you can hear Kieran?
Yes. Are you hearing me, KP? All right, I think...
We're
just trying to sort that problem out.
I don't think he can hear you.
All right, okay. All right, we're going to try to sort that out. But of course, maybe you should ask him the question then, Roland. I'm sure he's going to hear you. Maybe he prefers to talk to you.
No, but if you give me the question, and I'll answer the question. What was the question?
That would be very, very smart of you, really. We were looking basically at Shea Hope. I wanted to get his view, his feel on Shea Hope, because he's clearly struggled.
Yeah, but the thing is, Andrew, as we said, because you were not on, is that Shea Hope's trigger movements were not there. There were no trigger movements at all in Shea Hope when he played that delivery from Anderson. He batted some 64 balls, it is? 64 balls for 17 runs. So clearly, he's struggling. And he, because he hasn't been scoring runs, he's just not in good sync. There's no movement at all of his feet. So when he played that ball, his right foot was actually coming around and off the ground. So no balance.
Mm-hmm. All right, no balance at all. Gentlemen, we're going to look now at the dismissal of... Now, here's a man who would have done particularly well coming into the series. Had a wonderful season for Jamaica, and on the sheer strength of that performance, he made it. Some people felt that perhaps he should not have gotten back into the West Indies side, but the fact that he did so very well in the regional competition had to force the selectors. And he played one or two very, very good knocks. And earlier on, Phil Wallace was talking about this dismissal. He was bowled all over the place, but I want you to take a look. And then after we see the dismissal, we're going to go straight to Roland Butcher.
Run. Broads and his ball gone. The nip backer from Wokes. Full delivery that. Perfect when someone's staying leg side of the ball.
Nip backer from Wokes. Full delivery that.
His record. Perfect when someone's staying leg side of the ball. is outstanding. Wokes has presented a beautiful seam. It's nipped back slightly. You could see that Wokes was perhaps aiming to swing it away. Blackwood.
Yes, Roland, what happened there? Big gap between Mel and Brad.
Andrew, I'm very disappointed with that shot ball, Blackwood. The ball was not there really to be driven. You know, he was driving on the up. The ball obviously nipped in, and if he'd made contact with that ball, you know, it would have gone back over the bowler's head. So it was never going to go along the ground. He was never in control of it. And really, for me, it was a rash decision, a rash shot in the circumstances at the time when really West Indies needed him to dig in and dig deep, going for an expansive drive on the up, where nobody has been driving on the up in this game, not just in this innings. And he lost his wicket there, and it was a vital wicket as well.
Hello? You spoke
at Blackwood
shot.
Yeah, but maybe look at Blackwood there, Andrew. The ball is on a length that is not full enough to drive. He's a short man, so his left foot is not to the pitch of the ball. He's just using his hands. And he's just driving at length, the ball nipped back on bowling. It's a poor shot. Again, if Blackwood tried to get close to the ball, he would have realized, look, he can't drive the ball. It's not full enough. I'm defending him. But because he's looking to stay leg side and hit every ball outside from outside the arsenal over extra cover, he just made a bad shot at a critical time. And these are things that Blackwood need to, you know, these are things that he needs to work on. You can't be getting up the same way in the series all the time. They know that you like hitting over the top. Just temper that for a little bit. You're with the captain. You're looking to close the day out and come back tomorrow, not play big expansive shots. Mm-hmm. There's no crowd. So why does he want to play those shots? There's no crowd. Just relax.
Mm-hmm. Just relax. Kieran Powell?
Yeah, I would like to drive in a car with Blackwood.
Oh, okay. Kieran, your assessment of the shot, was it that poor? Kieran, was it that poor?
I think Blackwood played a Blackwood shot. It didn't come off, but that's what Blackwood plays. You can't expect to celebrate when it goes well and he makes 95 in the first and we win. But today, when it doesn't come off and it looks bad, to be upset, you know, it's either you're gonna love it all the time or you're gonna hate it all the time. That's how Blackwood plays. I guess he says he's tempered it somewhat. Depends on how much the bowler sees him, I guess. But that's what it is. It's a Blackwood shot.
Andrew, you know something? You know, I wish I was a West Indies selector. I wish I was a West Indies selector to hear Paul say that. You know, I wish I was. Andrew, I'll be telling Mr. Blackwood, if you play that shot ever again, you will not see West Indies colours for a little while, my friend. West Indies cricket is bigger than a one shot. In Hampshire, it worked. Manchester, the ball is swinging, can't work. Deal with my cricket for my team, not for you and your big shots. Can't play that shot there. Be in trouble, Mr. Blackwood. Temper it, come back tomorrow, and let's see if you can play tomorrow. We, all cricketers, our batsmen, need to look at the game scenario. The big picture is West Indies cricket. Not scoring 95 and getting chances and getting all man. It's about West Indies cricket. So, Mr. Blackwood, sir, think about team. And then you come to bat in second innings, temper that aggression and try to bat for the team and put us in a position where we can draw a win because we're staying on the barrel. So, Mr. Blackwood, it's not about you. I'm sorry. The cricket is West Indies cricket, Andrew. Play properly, man. I don't like it. It ain't look good.
And Andrew.
And I wish I was a selector.
Andrew, history has shown that there have been no successful test cricketers who hit the ball yes or no. You cannot name one. He hits the ball in the air a little bit too often. First class level will probably get away with it because the level of bowling is not the same. But when you play international cricket against good bowling attacks, They'll be happy for you to hit two or three fours over the top, but they know that they're always in with a chance. And it's a risky ploy at the international level. And unless he's able to curb that instinct, I think you will find that he probably will not be a consistent player for West Indies. He may be in and out. And that is not what you want from someone who's going to be batting in the middle order. You're expecting solid and regular performances from that middle order batsman, and someone who's going to give the team some sort of stability as well. Hello, I think with Andrew to the picture, you need to take charge.
No, when you look at it, because Paul, when you look at Blackwood, he's in a critical position at six. The captain move up, because last night I said, I believe Jason can temper him. The captain move up, one, you're battling with the captain. Chris Wokes is looking at nip you up. The ball is not full enough. Team situation has to come first, not Blackwood big shot. Coming off or coming on, it's a bad shot in the situation of the game. And we find ourselves now, we have to score 170 to save a follow-on. It's in the V, get there. But we're hoping. But we got to look at the game situation. The game situation is bigger. That's why Ollie Pope's 91 is a good innings. Because he worked out the game situation. And they showed it today on the TV, how he was getting forward. And he's a much shorter batsman in reach than all West Indian top order. And they're staying back, and he's going forward because he played game situation. What are your thoughts about playing game situation rather than looking for a big shot?
Doesn't matter what number you're batting at. Doesn't matter who you're batting at. You have to play game situation. Obviously, the situation changes, I guess, every time a wicket falls, depending on who you're batting with, all these different things, who's bowling, so many different variables. But I guess your thinking that the captain could temper him was a bit ill thinking. He probably tempered him to play Rashad if that was the case.
So the big ball presence at the other end made no difference.
It made him feel bigger, I guess.
But Jason said he would pick 12 black ones. After the first test match. Yeah, so you could be too.
There you go. So if he wanted 12 Blackwoods, he knew what he was in for. So. You live by the sword, you die by the sword.
The question, gentlemen, is can he stop it? That is the question.
I believe he can, Roland. I will give him the benefit of the doubt that he can do it. But it has to be spelled out to him. Why? And there'll be benefits for him at the back. I can remember, is it John Buchanan or Michael Clark? He said Michael Clark, you know, is a shotgun. He lived by the sword of diamonds. But then 2 years later, we saw a refined Michael Clark, who ended up to be one of the premier batsmen in Australian cricket. So I think it can be done. We saw the opening batsman for Australia as well. What's his name? Warner has done it. And the crazy guy who was the commentator, the opening batsman. I can't remember his name, but they all
Michael Slater.
They all temper their aggressive nature, and I think Blackwood can do it. But he has to help. He has to have help. Somebody has to help him. You know, when he goes back to Jamaica, the Jamaica Cricket Board, along with the Cricket West Indies, they need to find people to help these guys. Because
Blackwood definitely can do it. I mean, I saw him make a double century this year. Obviously, the standard of bowling in domestic cricket and international cricket are two different things. Mm-hmm. But for anyone that could make a double century, it doesn't matter if you're batting against your sister in the backyard, a double century is a lot of batting. And he batted for, I think, six sessions. So clearly he can bat for long periods of time. I think what he needs is probably just, I guess, deep breaths or whatever coping mechanism he has to do with, I guess, rush of blood. But he's shown already in this series that he's capable, and I'm sure in the second inning, because throughout the series he's batted at least well in one of the innings in every test match so far. So I think he's somebody that, I guess, he learns from his mistakes, so hopefully he'll do better in the second innings. Right now he's not much help to us being 120 for 6. We just have to hope that Dorich and Jason and at least get us past that 170, and then let's see how we could manage to keep them to a score that we could probably battle the game on. Well, I don't know how close we'll get to talk about even a win. So let's try and work on a draw.
So you're not making any predictions. Today, Karen.
Well, I mean, I was so close, you know. I don't think my prediction was far off, but it was just after all the hard work was done in the first hour, the second hour, sort of through all that hard work of the previous 3 days and that first hour out of the window. So, who knows? Maybe Jason and Dorich could have that partnership that they did in Barbados, where Jason got a double and Dorich got 100, and who knows, we might be sitting here tomorrow, me being optimistic with West Indies in the lead, but that, I guess that's a big ask at this moment.
Yeah, Andrew, just one point I was going to, in relation to Blackwood, I'll finish on that. I have no difficulty with Blackwood playing the shots. My difficulty is the amount of time he hits the ball in the air. And, you know, when you hit the ball in the air often in international cricket, right, you will give your wicket away. Let the bowler get you out with a good delivery or something, but when you're deliberately looking to lift the ball, particularly against the batsman, in conditions that are conducive to fast and medium pace bowling, it is a risky strategy. And it's a strategy that more often than not will fail. So I would like to see Blackwood over a period of time become much more, I don't mind him being aggressive, be aggressive, play your shots, but please look to hit the ball along the ground. Looks like Andrew's gone for that.
Again. What we're going to look at tomorrow, Kieran, West Indies 137 for 6. The ball is only 47.1 overs old, so it's not relatively an old ball. There will still be some shine and hardness to that. You have Jason Holder, who's on 24. Looks pretty comfortable. I thought that he was batting reasonably well today. And Dowridge is on 10, obviously, with his problems with the short ball. What do you expect from these two? How far will you expect them to bat?
I think, again, the first hour is the major stumbling block. That's when England are going to come with that fresh energy. You could fully expect Broad and Anderson to bowl all of that first hour. They generally do most times, especially in English conditions. And it's going to be testing. It's not going to be any easy runs. And then I think Dowridge has to find a way to sort of get himself in, especially in that time, because you know what Joffre is going to come with at the start of that second hour, if he's still there. So I guess a little bit of runs will build his confidence and help him to fight those demons. Jason just has to continue batting. He doesn't have to do anything fancy. He's already got a good start. So once he could continue and find support from whoever he could find an ally in to carry them over that 170, that's the initial target. Once we could get to that, then we start hitting smaller milestones again. Let's try and get to 200. Okay, let's try and get to 250, and so on and so forth. But that initial hour, getting through that, it doesn't matter what the score is in terms of how much runs we've added, but keeping wickets in hand would be the most important thing for West Indies to have any chance in this match.
Now, Rudy, when you look at it, the England bowlers, you have Anderson, who bowled 11 overs, had 17 runs, 4 maidens, 2 wickets. Broad, 10 overs, 3 maidens, 17 runs, 2 wickets. Joffre Archer, 13.1, 1 maiden, 55 runs, 1 wicket. Chris Wokes, 13 overs, 1 maiden, 39 runs, 1 wicket. No spinners yet. The four seamers, obviously, 47 overs between them. And
tomorrow, what do you think the England bowling attack will be like, and what are we looking to do? Because there's no Dawn Besters yet.
I think it'll be very much more the same. I don't think you'll see the spinner in this first innings. Obviously, England are going to come out tomorrow, run hard at the West Indian batsmen, knowing full well that they've only got a break. This partnership, and then they're pretty much into the tail. So I think that would be a first business of order, looking to dislodge one of these batsmen as quickly as possible and then try to mop up the tail. So I don't think Best will get an opportunity to bowl in this innings. If he comes into the game, it's most likely to be in the second innings. But I think it would be tomorrow, pace.
So a similar repeat of today we'll see tomorrow. Who would you start with if you were England captain?
Well, I think tomorrow, fresh, I think Jimmy Anderson, you've got to start with Jimmy Anderson because, you know, he's going to bowl more wicket to wicket. Batsmen have to start. It's a new day, so they've got to get used to the pitch, got to get used to the light. Foot movement might not be as they would like. You know, Anderson will move the ball, so there's a chance of getting an edge on LBW. And the same thing with Broad. You know, he's going to bowl reasonably straight. So I think those two will start and just really try to test the batsman out. If that doesn't work, then I think you'll see Jofra at some point in time, particularly if Sturridge is still at the crease, coming into the attack. But obviously they'll try to get them out more traditionally at the start.
Obviously, when you look at Sturridge, he has a massive problem with Jofra, psychologically as well. And I take your point. With that article, I read that article, that the statements that Dowridge made in that article, actually, and I thought the statements were a little too full.
Yeah, I think at the start of a series, you know, Andrew's back. I'll finish here, but I just thought at the start of a series, you know, it's best to say nothing. Yes, go into the series and concentrate on playing the cricket. And journalists ask you questions to trap you. And they certainly got him to speak in that manner, and I'm sure Archie would have read it. And
he reads everything.
And here's the opportunity now. I'm sure he's reminding Sturridge about what he said.
I think we've lost Andrew again.
He's gone again.
Well, Kieran, obviously, our approach to get, first of all, as you said, we need to get 170. Do you think Sturridge and Holder are capable enough to get us up to that 170?
Of course they're capable enough. These are guys with international hundreds against this English bowling attack. So they've done it before. Sturridge's situation, as everyone knows, is just a dip in confidence, which I think stem from his keeping, really, and not being able to manage with the swirling ball after it's passed the bat. Mm-hmm. And that's carried over into his batting, because the first game, the first innings of the series, Sturridge was actually the one that stood up and made 60-something, if I'm not
mistaken. Yes.
And you can't just go from being in form to getting a peer, and then everything's just gone downhill, you know. So obviously, someone needs to put a hand around his shoulder, you know, and just cuddle him a bit, because he's a confidence type of a player. But we know that once he's full of confidence, what he can do, I think they should just tell him to just go out and play freely, actually, because there's not much more for us to lose at this point. We can only gain if he goes out and plays freely. So I think he needs to go out, express himself. Maybe a few quick boundaries will give him that confidence again, and he could settle down and build a good score, because it is very important that we get past 170 and not give England the option to allow us to follow on, especially with rain potentially being around and so many different things that I'm hopefully praying for to happen to give us a way back into this match.
Well, Roland, obviously...
In terms of my assessment just now, but tomorrow, I forgot that Jofra's got 5 balls left in his over.
Yeah.
And Sturridge is on strike. So
I feel looking forward to that, you know, Roland.
So I think that's That's how they will start. We don't find delivery.
Brother, next time, please do not save the follow on. You think England should enforce a follow on or England goes back?
Well, again, the weather forecast. I'm not sure what the weather forecast is. If the pitch, and it seems as if the pitch will continue to the same, you know, I think with a 200 run lead, and I've got a fairly fresh 4-prong pace attack. I think I would be, and the way the West Indies are batting at the moment, I think I would be inclined to enforce the follow-on. I wouldn't take any chances. I would enforce the follow-on.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Andrew's back. Andrew, can you hear us?
Somebody. Yes, I am. Yes, I went to Bayfield and came back. I got a helmet for Norwich. And I'm sending it on this way. No, Leon Francis is sitting here. This is a do or die innings for Norwich. Do you agree with that, fellow?
I think he has to do. I'm not even putting in die, Andrew. I just think Norwich have to go there and get some runs. However, he might start ugly, but Andrew, I think if he gets it, he will blossom. He has to draw on his experiences. He had a good first test match. Right. He's going to have century. He needs to draw on those things and bring them to the fore. Yes, Joffa has exposed a massive chink in his armor against the short board. He has to try to solve that and try to build a partnership with the captain. So he has to do. Tomorrow, Roland, Sunday is going to be at 18 degrees and there might be some showers. They never said heavy or light, but there might be some showers. So Dowry's tomorrow, Andrew, have to go there better the storm. He and the captain. They're batsmen.
Well, someone here, Roger Tracy, says follow on is the only chance to win. Get 400 and defend 180 in the last day. Isn't that very optimistic, Roland Butcher?
Well, I mean, tell Roger that 400 runs is not easy to score in Test cricket. It's a little bit different to club cricket. This is international cricket against good bowlers with your backs against the wall. You're struggling as a batting unit to score 400. It seems a tall order to me. It's good to be a supporter and a West Indian supporter, but I don't think you can say with confidence that you would score 400 runs in these last 2 days.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. Very, 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 very difficult to do. Gentlemen, just before we wrap, let's start with you, fellow Wallace. Do you think West Indies can save this one? Talk to me, fellow.
But that's it. Andrew, we have to put things in perspective. We are behind the 8 ball by a long way. We have to save the follow 170. We are 137 for 6. Our two last hopes are not sheer hope. That is, Jason Holder and Dowridge at the crease. They need to try and push that score up to over the follow-on score of 170 and go beyond that. And then we have to do assessment. It has to be an assessment after every hour. Because if we lose any wickets in the first hour, we're going to struggle. Because Cornwall, Roach, and Gabriel, there isn't a lot there. We've learned from our batting, and we still find ourselves in problems. So it's going to be a tall order, Andrew, to save or even to win this game. As you were saying, your language, the odds are set heavily, and that's with a capital H against West Indies.
Roland Butcher.
I think that's right. Obviously, the odds are very much against West Indies. If I were a betting man, I think I would be betting on England at this point because of the position they're in. I mean, if you're a batting unit, you're 7-6 down for 130, you haven't placed the follow-on yet. I think there would be some trepidation there. So I think England right now have the aces. They will feel that they can control the game from here. Really, West Indies would need a superhuman effort really to get out of this one. I think the question is, can we summon that sort of effort? I think with our frame of mind at the moment in terms of batting,
I think it would be extremely difficult because, you know, most of our batsmen are having difficulties, you know, in scoring runs. So right now, the odds are very much in England's favour. Andrew's gone back to be a field, you know.
Yeah, I think he got to Harrison's ball.
I'm here. Final word, you know, KB. Final word, KB.
I don't think we should be necessarily worrying about saving the match at this point. We need to worry about saving the follow-on. That's the most important thing. If we can't do that, then I think the game is all but gone anyway. So, first hour, first session, most important for any hopes of retaining this Wisden Trophy.
Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, we're going to come back here, of course, tomorrow to continue the discussion. If we come back tomorrow, things are a lot better for the West Indies. There's no doubt about that. We are in big trouble. We're in the doghouse, 137. The loss of six. We're going to be looking to our captain to do what he made a double century. There's no doubt about that. When he played in Bridgestone, and we look forward to him. And of course, he can bat as well. So it's going to be very difficult for the West Indies tomorrow, but let's wish them well. So then 3:07 p.m. The West Indies law tells me that there may be some rain, but if there is cricket tomorrow, then the West Indies may be in an uphill struggle. We'll come back tomorrow at the same time to bring you the action. I'm Andrew Mason. On behalf of the team.
On his way to Portsmouth, big left-handed West Indian captain Wakes tapping away at the crease. Walker is on the way, and Lloyd off the back foot crashes it through the covers. That's four more runs. Beautiful shot by Lloyd, full of confidence, flowing back foot shot off the meet the bat and racing away to the boundary. McCosker in the covers had no chance of catching it.
This tiny young fella by the name of Chiwa left all the way from China because of Kerry Packer. He said he heard so much about cricket, but he wants someone to explain it. There's much between Australia and we, so we start listening to the commentary. He hear the ball swinging, he started asking about Adam. He want to apply for the job as the night watchman. Just then he hear fingers. He say like married people, he play this game. When he hear the bowler have a third man, he say them homos ain't have no shame.
Tries to cut his out for the wicket. Marsh takes the chances. Richards tries to cut. Just got a top edge onto it. And the Australians are naturally jubilant for getting the prime West Indian wicket. Richards caught Marsh. Ball by Bright for 88.
Imagine my calamity. Explaining cricket to the shiny. He never see cricket before. So he starts saying stupid things in galore. Everything he wants to consume. So he went and turned up the volume. With his radio. Go to Richard and leg break. The boy that is dangerous. He asked me if that means Richard getting 3 months sickly for four. The bowler that was spinning, he wonder if he gets Malkadi. When he hears Clive Light get his entry, he says somebody take toilet paper quickly.
Ready with time, but it's not very well. Australia in tremendous trouble. Flying out of the ground, beats completely there for pace. Robert's ready to put everything into that one and gets his revenge after that six shot.
He hears Miss Feeling slip. He says she ain't a blow shame. A backward point and Feeling me done. He tells me what a stupid game. Then he hears about long leg, fine leg and
right. To the man turn and tell me, like this game is for retarded people. He has two batsmen pad up, well my tiny partner was shot. Robert's on the attack, he says war, so he going back. Just then, the bowler googly, he says